I want to do is continue. But I want you to understand something. I'm really dealing with the woman, so you don't want to say too much. Because the woman is the soul. All right? That's why the Bible told the woman to shut up. You go back and look at it. All right? Because all the stuff that we got into, that all was saying about Adam, really came through the woman. Now, when I say the woman, I'm talking about your mind. Because we get ready to go into that part of the ministry that I've been working towards all this time is the woman. When I say the woman, I'm talking about the soul. And I want to begin to show you how the Word of God ministers to the soul. The Word of God cannot minister to the soul unless the soul hear the Word, believe the Word. She has to do that. Because God knows how we got in the situation with Adam. It was through the woman. So we have to understand, it does not mean you as a female, because we don't have females in the new covenant. So don't get offensive, okay? Like this pastor up there talking about us. Listen, I said the woman is, I already ministered on this, it's the woman. So I want to go back and show you how God going to give the authority back in your life. And the only way it's going to happen is he has to put the man back in you and the woman must believe. Those two things have to happen. The woman has to become a believer, the soul, and Christ must be back in the house. So we have a lot to learn. We got a lot to go on. And I'm going to take this and I'm going to show you this, because I'm not giving you the subject as the mind. I'm telling you what I'm doing. You will see it all as we get to it. I'm going to show you. Last week I showed you that we are ambassadors for Christ, because that has to happen. But now I got to go and get you ready for who you have become. Let me say it again. I must now prepare you for what you have become. You have become an ambassador for Christ, but you got to be educated now. Before you can be able to minister to other people, you got to understand that God got to minister to you. All right, so we got a lot of work to do. All I need you to do is one thing, woman, and I'm talking to the church, is believe. All right, that's all you have to do. You don't have to help me preach. You know, you got some pastor say, ain't y'all going to help me preach? That's not me. All right. I need the woman to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's what I want. And receive it and understand that if you're going to change, if you're going to ever change, this message is going to help you. Most people do not understand why they cannot operate in the things of the Spirit, because some things has to happen in their life. So I got a lot, believe me, I got a lot. All right, so we're gonna get busy, okay? So I wanna go back to Philippians chapter 3. From the book of Philippians chapter 3, we just showed you who you are. And then in Philippians chapter 3, we're gonna start there, because I want to get my subject. Philippians chapter 3, we're gonna start reading verse 7. Now, you got to know what I'm doing. I'm going to give you scriptures on everything I'm saying, but you just got to take my word for it till I get to it, okay? Philippians chapter 3, I want to thank God also for the television audience that's watching us. Sometimes we forget to say that, forgive me. We do it in 11 o'clock services, but we forget to do it in the 9 o'clock. So I want to personally thank God for all those people watching our broadcast, all right? All right, thank you all so very much. Thank you all so very much. All right, now Philippians chapter 3. Going to come to your camera, ma'am. All right. Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 7. Now, watch the heart of Paul. Then I'm going to give you my subject. This is what Paul want done. This is what we want done. See, when God is giving us his word, he's telling us how Paul got to where he was. We all look at Paul's ministry and we see how blessed he was, but he's showing us how he got there. I'm going to show you Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to go back to Philippians chapter 2, because we're going to see how Paul got the knowledge to write the books of the New Covenant. All right, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, this is your time. If you want to be a part of the service, you can read with me. Always, you can read with me. Okay? All right. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, I count all things. You got to hear what he's saying. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, you want to, if you're taking note, you want to put there everything that was in me from the old nature. He counted all loss. Everything that was in me from the old nature or from the old mind. Because I want you to know you only have one nature, and that's either you have a nature of Adam or you have a nature of Christ. We're going to show you what that means after a while. Now, in verse number 8 told you why that must happen. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He keeps saying all things. And I do count them but dung. The purpose is that I may win Christ. All right? Now, this is the Apostle Paul operating in a position as having the new mind. Now he realized, I have the new mind, but how am I going to get everything that's in Christ in me? That's why I gave you Philemon last week, verse 4 through 6. How am I going to get everything that's in Christ, my Creator, is living in me? How am I going to get everything that's in Him in me? Me is the soul. Me is the soul. Christ in me is my hope of glory. Everything that the Father has is in me. But how am I going to get it to operate in my soul? My soul is a woman. Me and Adam, me and Christ used to be one in the beginning of creation. I used to be in Adam, but God took me out of Adam so I could operate on my own. But I disobeyed. This is what the woman said. But the woman disobeyed God. And because of that, she could never reign and never rule. She could never have authority or control over her own flesh. But thank God that Jesus came. Amen. See, we're going to see how much he means to me. All right. So here in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I got to win Christ. That's a word, I got to win. Because first of all, that's what happened when I met Sister Ernestine Dixon. I had to win her. That means I had to get her approval. Because she didn't want me. So I had to win her. So I started buying her gifts. I started taking her places. I started creating a fellowship so I could win her until she received me. See, that's what the man does on the inside of you. You got Christ inside of you, but you got to come to a place so the woman, the soul, will receive the man. And the only way that can happen is I got to keep on telling you how good he is. I got to keep on preaching Christ to you, telling you what everything he done for you. And one day the woman will receive the man or believe the man. And then when that happened, the man will come in and live with the woman again. That's what's going on. That's why Paul had the revelation. First of all, when God created, you got to understand something. There is creation. When God created a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So what did God do when he created you? He created the woman in the man. If you take a note, that's a note. First creation is when God put the woman back into the man. Genesis, God created the woman and the man. Then he separated the woman from the man. But then the woman disobeyed. So now God has to create her again, back in the man again, so they can rule and reign over the earth, which is your flesh. So yeah, I want you to see that. Okay, you're not trying to rule and reign nobody else. You got to rule and reign over your own flesh. Okay? All right. Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9, that I may win Christ. Verse number 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, because remember, Christ in me is God's righteousness now, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then he goes to the verse number 10, that I may know him. Now remember, he's talking as the woman is in the house to her husband, that I may know him. Now, you got to understand, Adam knew Eve. That's a term that you use for allowing the woman and the man to come together. So you got to understand, Adam and Eve, Adam knew Eve and brought forth. So the only way that your heart, your mind will be able to bring forth and produce in your life and have the authority and the power you need to operate, you're going to have to understand that you got to create a fellowship and a relationship. First relationship, then fellowship with the Christ in you. You got to get to know him. This is not about something on the outside. Salvation is on the inside of you. Salvation is not a thing, it's a person. And God put salvation, everything you need, inside of you. But I'm showing you how you got to operate. Everything must be through the woman, through the man. When I say the man, I'm talking about the woman, because she must believe again. The only way you can reign in life, the Bible told you in Romans 5:21, grace reigns through righteousness. God put grace in you. He put faith in your heart or in your mind. Those two have to go together. Romans 4:16. We'll read that a little later. Write it down. Romans 4:16. You got to have grace in you and faith in your mind, because they work together. The woman in you, the man in you, must have God's faith. That's why you can't use Romans 10:9-10 and verse 13. And those verses tell you faith come by hearing. Your faith don't come that way. That's what he was talking about with Israel. That's why people have missed it. The way you have faith is Galatians 2:20. Write that down. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Telling you how you got your faith. I'm crucified with Christ. That means you have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, the old Earl, but now Christ lives in me. The new man lives in me, because that's a new creation. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And now the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Not because I went and confessed with my mouth, believe my heart. But I live by the faith, watch this, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I don't live by what I do no more. That's what people are telling you. Well, I got my faith by hearing, and all I got to do is confess my faith. See, you don't understand. It's the faith of the Son of God who lives in you. You live by his faith. You live by what he says, woman, not what you did. That's how we got in the mess in the beginning. So you got to understand what's going on here. You're not living by your faith no more. You did that under Jesus' ministry, the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what they teach you in Romans 10:9-10, is the gospel of the kingdom. That's why everything is faith, faith, faith. But when you come into the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, it's grace and then faith. Because grace is what God did for you. Faith would not operate if grace hadn't finished its work. You live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, that's Calvary, and gave himself for me. Somebody give the Lord a big hand in here. So my whole point is, I'm going to show you in the Word why people are in a situation they can't get out of. Because they don't want Christ. They want to serve him, but they don't want him. Because first of all, Christ lives right here in your heart. And your mind is going to have to fall in love with Jesus, or you'll never see the power of God reign in your life, or all these other things he has for you. That's what's happening with people. They don't want the Word. They don't want him. Your soul, your woman, you must fall in love with the man of your life who lives inside of you. That's why Paul said to them, you have not so learned Christ. All right. And my job is to teach you about it. He must become the lover of your soul. Your soul must come to a place that you will be able to say, I love you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, let me give you my subject. We'll get there. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have to read on out now just to give you my subject. Let's go to verse 13 and 14. The rest of that I will get to. Now, verse number 13 is where we're going to find our subject. Took long enough, huh? Verse 13 says, brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, he's talking about the Christ in him. I don't know everything he knows. But one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. He's telling you how I'm going to be able to learn Christ. How I'm going to be able to know everything that's in him. I got to forget those things that are behind. That's the verse I'm going to use. Forgetting what is behind is your subject. You have to forget what is behind. Now, when you read Paul's writing right here, what I'm going to go back to just a moment. That's all he's been telling you. But if you're going to be able to win Christ, now he's talking about winning Christ because Christ is already in him, but he got to get to know him with his mind, and he got to be able to allow Christ in him to operate through him, and it can't happen until he know him. See, your salvation is in you. You got to know your salvation. You got to come to a place so you fellowship with your salvation. Because he's not only your salvation, he's your relationship. He's your father and everything else he is to you. But you got to get to know him before you'll be able to know him. 1 Corinthians 6:17, you want to write that down. You're going to need this in this teaching. It's something you're going to hear for a while, because in the book of Genesis, Adam had to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they both became one flesh. Now that's what happened in the garden. They could only be one flesh. Genesis 1:28. We're going to read that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 on the screen first before we go anywhere. That's what I was waiting on. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Let me do that first. Forgetting those things which are behind is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. We're going to be there a while. But the Bible said, but he that is joined, come on, read with me. But he that is joined to the Lord is what? One what? Once God put his spirit in you, he joined you back to the Lord. See, that's what it means by 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you're ambassadors for Christ. And what did Christ do? Christ, it used a big word there, reconciliation. Well, reconciliation means he reconciled you back to God. or he restored you back to God. Here's another word. He joined you back to your God. So God put Christ in me, then he joined Christ back to my mind, my woman. My woman and I now are both joined to the Lord. That means that now everything that's in Christ now can be in me. It's like the umbilical cord has been reconnected. How many hear what I'm saying? Right. So now everything that's in him can get to me. See, life is in him, joy is in him, peace is in him. Everything that's in him, power, goes right to me. Because we are, you can write this down, I can't put it, if you find it, put your note. The Bible said, that's what Peter meant when he said, we are heirs together of the grace of life. See, so what God has for the spirit man is also for the soul. But the soul must become a believer. And the soul must sit down and hear the word. That is the hardest thing for people to do who don't have Christ in them. Because if Christ is in you, why you can't sit down and hear the word? See, Christ is the power of God. But he's not going to force himself on you, woman. He's not that kind of man. That's why we have Philippians chapter 2. Shall we go there now? Like I went somewhere and didn't finish. I'm okay. Philippians chapter number 2. Please correct me if I was somewhere reading and didn't leave, because I do that a lot. I have so many things open in my spirit. Philippians chapter number 2. Now in Philippians chapter number 2, before the book of Colossians, you're going to hear Paul say this. Now remember, he already told you, you got to forget those things which are behind. And there, I'm going to show you that's why you would never be able to go forward. You will never get your authority back. You will never get the power of your life back. You will never get those things you believe in God for, because you won't go forward. The only reason you're not going forward is you're not using, the man inside of you is not in control. Because the man inside of you does not use your old nature or your old mind. Before I do Philippians 2, put that down. That's where I'm supposed to be coming back to. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. All right, let's go to Galatia. Back to Galatians. Chapter 2, and I want to show you verse 15. I want to show you how you know your old nature. Philippians 2 and verse 15. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15. Then we're going to go back to Galatians 3:28. I'm showing you the old nature and the new nature. I pray to God that you write these things down, that you will never forget what is your old nature. And when I keep telling you, you have a new nature, you got to know what that means. See, if you don't have a new nature, you don't want the word. See, you got to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you're not your own self, that if Christ is not in you, except you be reprobate. How can I tell that Christ is in me? I want the word. Regardless of what I do in the church, I still want that word. All right, now watch Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15. I want to know, can you hear this and be able to tell me what is your old nature? I'm just going to read it to you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, read. We who are Jews by nature, stop right there. How do you know your old nature? Stop right there, don't say nothing. Go to Galatians 3:28. See, when you hear the word, really hear the word. Now go to Galatians 3:28. We're going to come back and forth to those two verses. Galatians 3:28, Galatians 2:15. All right, here we go. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 28. One verse, read it. And if you be Christ, then you are. No, that's not Galatians 3:8. I want Galatians 3:28. I'm reading 29. Forgive me. Galatians 3:28, read it again. There is neither Jew no Greek. Stop right there. Now, I can only read it to you. If you got the Holy Spirit, why can't you see it? Watch this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature. You can't hear. Listen. Listen what he says. We who are Jews by nature. We who are color people by nature. We who are white people by nature. You don't get it? After Adam, your birth after Adam is your nature. You don't get it? In Christ, you don't have nature. Your nature. All right, go to Galatians 3:28 again. Man, I thought this was going to be easy. Galatians 3:28. See, you got to understand, that's why your pastor don't be talking up here about other natures. That's why in this church we don't celebrate Adam's nature. You don't even know what I'm talking about, some of y'all. Come on, Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. In Christ, there is neither Jew. See, once you get in Christ, you're not Jew no more. Are y'all all right? Why? Because that's your old nature. See, you got to understand, my message is forgetting what is behind. That's why people can't go forward. Every day comes around, they want to celebrate it because that is their past. That's your old nature. And Paul's saying you will never know the new nature in you until you forget the old nature. And that's why Christ is in you and you're still talking about the old man. Because that was left. That's why in one of these teachings in here, we're going to cast it down. We're going to tear it down. We're going to destroy it. And we're going to bury it. All that's coming in this message. Oh, I know patty cake now, but it's going to get hot up in here. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 28. Read. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one what? In Christ. So in Christ, you don't have your identity. In Christ, you must lose your identity. And that's what we're going to start doing in this teaching is tearing down the old man and his deeds. Because most folk is living off of their past. You'll never go forward. Still hanging out with your old man and all of his deeds. And the new man is in you and you don't want him until you get into emergency. Then you call on the Lord. And he heard my cry. All right, Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 again. You catching on yet? I'm showing you your identity. Your old identity is Galatians 2:15. Your new identity is in Christ. Christ is your new identity. So you should be writing that down. That way you will know. So why am I preaching you Christ? I'm preaching to you your new identity. I'm telling you who you are. When Christ first came into ministry, he could not serve God because until he knew who he was, he came down to the place to be water baptized, and the Father stopped everything and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Once you realize who you are, no devil in hell can stop you. The only reason people do things in the flesh because they are remembering what their old man did. So they're doing things out of remembrance of the old woman, old man, whichever. All right. First, we're reading one more time, Galatians 2:15. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm giving it to you today, showing you the old identity in Galatians 2:15, showing you your new identity in Colossians 3:28. Christ is your new identity. Adam is your old identity. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. And the only reason your new identity is not what it's supposed to be, it can't get through your old man who's still holding on to the old mindset. Until you leave the past, you can never see the future. Everything God has for you, you cannot have it because you've got to lay it down. You've got to get rid of it. I'm going to show you. We're going to go through the process in these teachings. And I pray to God, you come to a place of real life. Now I know why I couldn't go forward. See, this is why you hear people saying, I'm not here to put these people down, but this is what people will not go forward. This is what they're saying when they said it. I'm Baptist born. I'm Baptist bred. I will be a Baptist until I die. I go to this church. I do this in this church. I'm not going nowhere else. I'm here. That's what they're telling you. I'm not going forward. I'm satisfied where I am. Leave me alone. I'll die here. And that's what's going to happen. Unless you go forward, you're going to die in the wilderness. This is where I'm going. This is why so many people never reach their potential. Because they don't want to know. It's hard. No, it's easy. But it's hard because you got to study. And you got to put off all this stuff. You want to keep putting in your mind everything on MSNBC, NBC, CBS, Fox News. I haven't got to your cell phone. I haven't got to all that stuff. See, we want that. We do nothing until I see my Facebook first. And I don't do nothing until I come over. See, you got all this stuff, and then you wonder why you don't have no work. You don't have no time. That's why the Bible says, Philippians 2, we're going to go to this in a moment, let this mind, let. God got to ask your permission to have his mind in you. Until the woman believes and receives the mind of the Lord, he can't even work in her. Isn't that something, how God lives in us and he got to ask permission to use our mind? And we want to know why God is not almighty and all-powerful in us. He can't get nothing done in the house. Let me show you one verse. What am I showing you now? Philippians 2. Okay, hold right there. Hold right there. Let's go back to Matthew. Let me show you what Jesus taught. Matthew chapter 13. Now, I'm not going to be able to do these, so I'm going to give it to you. You can see what it is. Matthew chapter 13. Now, he taught this in Matthew 13. Mark chapter 8 and Luke, I'm sorry, Mark 4 and Luke 8. You know what that is. Probably if you've been around this ministry a while, that is the parable of the sower. And Jesus told them how the word worked. The parable of the sower, the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matter of fact, let's just start reading verse 10. We're going to take a few moments here. And we want to read verse 10 down to verse number 15. Now, this is demonstrating with Israel why the word did not work in their heart, why they could not get saved, and Jesus was right there in person. See, the word is the same. He just revealed to you. To them, he was manifested in person. You got the same word. Your word is 2 Corinthians 4:4 is called the image of God. But why it won't help you? Why it doesn't help you? First of all, you don't want to make up your mind who's right and who's wrong. That's why people sit here a while, they go somewhere else a while, they sit somewhere else a while. That's why they can't realize, they can't understand there's only one message in the Bible. That's Galatians 1:6, and that's the gospel of Christ. Or the gospel of grace. So if you go somewhere with somebody trying to teach you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or let's read an Old Testament scripture, every time you got a funeral, I need you to read me an old. I'm like, I ain't going. I'm not going to read it. I walk out your pulpit. Read me an old. For what? There's no spirit in the Old Testament scripture. There's no faith in the Old Testament scripture. Jesus has already fulfilled it, and you got to count it as already dead. It's over. I can show you something as an example, but I can't read it to you, expecting you to give life. That's what most churches teach us from the Old Testament, because it's already laid out. The story is already laid out. So you go, woman, what's in your house? They don't know what he's talking about. Just woman, what's in your house? Now, we got some bread here. Oh, we got some stuff. Get a man some of your bread, and then he going to make sure you can get the miracle. They don't know what that meant. Has no light because it's never been revealed. All right, let's move on. Now, we're in Matthew 13. Now, why Israel did not get what they wanted? She was the woman. Christ came to the woman. Just like we are the woman, but we are the woman as in the mind, the soul. Write two things down. I will cover them in this class, hopefully after I go to what I just gave you. We want to go to two things. We want to go to 2 Timothy 2:15. And then we want to go from there, put these in order now. From there, we want to go to Hebrews 4:12. And I'm going to show you by the word, when I minister, when you're sitting on a person who knows the word, they can minister the word by the spirit that's in them, and the word will rightly divide the word in your heart because I'm ministering to your soul, to your spirit, and to your body. And if I don't preach Christ, you'll never have what you need in nowhere but your flesh. That's why some churches, you get all they spend most of the time is giving me a high five and slap somebody. People like that. People like that. Because all that is flesh. All right. Matthew 13. Are you there? Because they're not learning the word. See, you got to take time to minister the word. But you got to take time to study. All right. Matthew 13:10. Read. And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Lord, why are you speaking to all your people here in parables and not us 12? Jesus said, he answered and said to them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why? Because they don't have the spirit. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He got the first half of the spirit. You can't give a person the word if he ain't got the spirit. They don't want the word. Have you ever noticed when people come to church, they don't have the spirit, they don't want the word? They're going to get up, walk out of here, come back at the end. They don't want the word. All right? And verse number 12. Whosoever has, to him shall be given. For he that, and he going to have more abundant. But whosoever has not, don't have the spirit, from him shall be taken away even that it has. Now you go look at your life. If you don't want the word, whatever you get, you lose it. Because you don't want the word. Verse 13. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not. They're hearing, but they hear not. Neither do they understand. They'll never get to a place where they'll get the growth because they rejected the word in their hearts. The woman, the soul in them don't want the word. Here it is in verse number 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, but you will not perceive. Why? Because this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and I should heal them. They should be converted, and I would heal them if that could happen. Verse number 16. But blessed are your eyes, for you see. And your ears, for they hear. All right. Now, verse number 17. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see, but have not seen them. And to hear the thing which you hear and have not heard it. Because if they could see it and hear it, they could change. They could be converted and they could change. So why people are not converted? If you go back to, well, I would do it. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. See, when people don't want God, they only want religion. The same people can go to somewhere where they can have some religion and they'll be the life of the party because they found what they wanted. But I don't have no religion for you. You don't have to slap nobody. Don't have to get on by no high five. Now, I used to be there. I thought that was popular. The Lord showed me, said, that ain't nothing in the book told nobody to slap nobody or give nobody no high five. But people do this here because it's flesh. That's all it is. It's telling the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. So we'll do it verse 1 and 2 later. Verse number 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, why are people lost? In whom the god of this world, religion. That's all it is. The god of this world. They rather have religion than to have Christ. The god of this world has not gone to have blinded their mind. Because he was talking to people of his day. He said, this is why they don't want the word. They want religion. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we preach not ourselves. See, that's what people want. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if I don't preach Christ, you will never change. I must preach Christ. You must receive him into your mind because your mind is the woman. It's the same thing that happened when you have a husband. You got to consummate the relationship. Oh, Lord, I love the Lord. Never consummate a relationship. You never received him. You can't be fruitful. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Are y'all understanding me? Well, you who are mature enough to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You got to know him, that I may know him. That's why people get Christ in them, but they never know him. They never change. You can get Christ in you, never know him, and you'll never bring forth fruit. Your life will be just like an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and see in verse number 12. We'll just do those three verses. We'll move on. Verse number 12 says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. This is so plain, Pastor. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. They couldn't see that the law was already abolished. See, the key is, Paul told them in Romans 10 and verse 1, in verse 4, I'm sorry, Christ is the end of the law. Righteousness. See, I understand the law has already been abolished. It's already done. And it's not just that. All the prophecies, all the prophets, all the Psalms, all the law, you put them all on one side and you put Christ on this side. Christ is a fulfillment of everything over there. All that over there told you salvation by the law, salvation by the kingdom. That's the only two places you had salvation. The law of righteousness, the kingdom of righteousness. Over here you got Christ. He fulfilled all that. See, what happened is we don't want him over here. We want this stuff over there. But you don't get that here. All right, watch what happened here. But their minds, in verse 14, read, but their minds were blinded. He's talking about the people of his day. What blinded their mind? Their mind were blinded, Paul says, until this day, 2,000 years ago. When it happened, remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is done away in Christ. When you in Christ, the law is done away. The Old Testament is done away. Prophecies is done away. People are still telling you that Jesus is going to come. What that is? That prophecy. It's all done away in Christ. Let's keep going. Christ did come. He came to Israel. But 95% of church folk today still waiting on Christ. That's why you can't celebrate Jesus. I mean, Christ in you. You're waiting on Jesus. That's who you're waiting on. And can't celebrate Christ. The Bible never said that Jesus Christ was coming. He said Jesus. This same Jesus. Wait a minute. Go to the first book of Acts. See, this is the thing. People still want Jesus. They don't want Christ. Because they think the Bible is going to lie to them. The Bible is not lying to you. Your pastor not going to lie to you. I keep telling you, you believe Jesus is coming, then you don't know nothing about Christ. As a matter of fact, you don't even know about the Christ in you because you waiting on Jesus. So you just wait around for Jesus. Just don't die, folk. You get Christ in you. Jesus died so you be saved. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 on the screen. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Going to come to your camera. Thought I forgot you. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Are you there? Verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, the Bible said he was. They beheld, and he was what? Taken up. And a cloud of witnesses, don't say that, but that's who they are. A cloud of witnesses received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, which why you stand by here, standing here gazing into heaven? Read. Read. I want to hear you read. This same Christ? He didn't say Christ. Nobody knew Christ until Paul came. It didn't say Jesus in you the hope of glory. It said Christ in you the hope of glory. People waiting on Jesus, they'd have rejected Christ. This same Jesus, which was taken up in the heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's what people are still waiting. Jesus came to his own people. You still waiting for him to come to you. 90-some% of the church folk in America, just America, still waiting on Jesus. But a man the other day said, well, you know, Jesus is going to come and get on people their land. They haven't got all their land. See, that's what's going on. What folks don't know. Jesus coming back to get them folks their land. That land they ain't got yet. They own that land. See, that's Old Testament. The land is not physical no more. It's your mind. That's the land he wants. So he can put the promises in the land. But when people don't know, people don't know. See, the thing about it, if you die and go to hell, it's not going to be my fault. I keep telling you. Believe what you want to believe. I can tell you the word. That's all I can do. Can't make you learn. All right. Now go to Philippians chapter 2. Now remember, I'm just introducing this. You got probably 2-3 months of this coming. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start verse 1. See, Philippians chapter 2, Paul is giving us this because he's showing you how Christ got his authority back. And he says again, he's showing us how Christ got the authority back. Say it with me. Paul is showing us how Christ got the authority back. Right. He's showing you how he did it. See, he's already got it. When he rose from the dead, he said, all power been given to me in heaven and earth. But Paul is showing us by the Holy Ghost how he got it back. Well, first of all, how did he lose it? Let's go back to Galatians 1:28. Not that, Genesis 1:28. Go Genesis 1:28. Start verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, the first book in the Bible. Chapter 1 and verse 26, and we're going to read that down to verse 28. Showing you, first of all, when God created man, the woman and the man, I said something earlier, they are heirs together of the grace of God in Peter. Now, I'm supposed to figure the rest of it out. 1 Peter what? 3:7. Okay, put that down for time's sake. 1 Peter 3:7 says, let them have dominion. No, I didn't say it like that. They are heirs together the grace of life. Same thing, isn't it? All right, but he's talking about the husband and the wife, but he's not talking about physically. He's talking about the Christ in you and your mind, which is the woman. All right, now let's see what happened here. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 26. Are you there yet? Come on, are you there yet? All right, we got to give me 5 minutes, right? Right, I want to show you something. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, now watch this, let them, he's talking about the male and the female. He's talking about the woman, and he's both of them is a soul. But then there is, in the new covenant, it's a new man now. It's not the old man Adam, it's a new man. All right, so Paul called it Christ in the church. Oh, he's talking about Christ in you and your mind. I hope you understand that. All right. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air. Now, he's using that, but he's not really talking about birds. Okay, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. All right. Keep on reading. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Now here we go. Let us make man. Here we go. Male and female created he them. That was the creation. That's why I told you earlier, when God created man, he created them male and female. So the new creation put the woman back in the man. Let me say it again. Creation in the new covenant. Ephesians chapter 2. I can't go to it now. I'm talking to people who I believe know the word. I can't go through that no more. I just have to keep telling you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 said, you are God's workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus. And that's all I'm going to tell you. All right. The woman in the new creation is created in the man. That's what creation is. God created the woman in the man. Then he took the woman out of the man. And that's when the woman messed up. How many can see what I'm saying? The soul, we're talking soul now. We're not talking about you and your flesh. We're talking soul talk, spiritual talk, grown up talk, grown folk talk. See, that's why we got to get there. That's why things like 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and then I thought as a child. That's what people are. But we're going to put away them childish things. Oh, yeah, all that stuff going. We're going to put them toys up. So Galatians chapter 1, when you realize your life is being destroyed because you're playing with toys, you're going to realize it. Got to put it up. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You understand, when God created the first creation, when he created Adam, he created Eve and Adam. Do everybody understand? So the new creation, the same thing, Ephesians 2, 9 and 10, he created the woman and the man. We were created in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? If I don't say do you understand, you don't say nothing, right? Do I have to read it on the screen before you say yes? Right. I'm trying to get the woman to say something. They don't understand. All this time, I'm trying to get the woman to say something. The man is talking, but the woman won't. That's where we at. The woman just want to look at the man. I'm not the man. I'm a man. I'm trying to get you to see the man. And when I show him to you, you're supposed to say, amen, that's him. See, all I got to do is take a man in the physical, like they do on your television, and they take his shirt open up. He don't even wear no necktie no more. He marks his body up, and he gets him a six-pack. He walks out, and all the women start screaming, hey, that's just a man. I'm trying to show you the man. Can't get nobody said that. Praise God. I'm talking about the man who takes care of you. I ain't talking about the man who show off and take care of self. Because when you see that man, he collect that money, he get on his plane, he go somewhere else. And that's a man. But the man, when he comes, he brings everything heaven has. All right, let's go to verse 28. You saw the creation already. Now in verse 28, and God blessed them. God blessed them. See, it's not he's not an heir by himself. God blessed them, and God said to them. Can you see the them? So God is not going to allow you to have everything you need in your mind and heart unless you get it from the man in you. The man in you shall supply all your need. You got to understand how it works. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by the man that liveth in you. And yet we don't want him. But we want what he got. Verse number 28. That's why the woman can't rule the day and can't reign. Because she don't want Christ. In verse number 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and have dominion. Somebody says, subdue, have dominion. Now go to the book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. After the fall of woman, the fall of Adam and Eve, she couldn't reign no more because she don't want the word. See, when she disobeyed God's word, she can't reign no more. And what you got to reign is over your life. That's why I'm going to show you in 2 Corinthians 4 when Paul said, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against not you, against the knowledge of God. So the key is all the old stuff that remained from the old man is keeping you from the knowledge of God. You don't want the word. Because the flesh do not want the spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do the thing that you would. That's why that's all that is flesh. Don't want the word. Because if the flesh get the word, the flesh gonna change. And the flesh don't want to change. I'm a Baptist born. I'm a Baptist bred. I'll be a Baptist till I'm dead. That's what folk are. And a lot of them don't say Baptist. They call their denomination out, but they ain't going nowhere. You come and tell them you're going to die in this church, what they believe in here. Listen, I'm an usher here. I sang in the choir. I've been here. Matter of fact, them stained glass windows up there. My great-grandmother got names up there. I'll be right here. You know why? They don't want to change. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Your things are behind is everything that came from your old nature. Everything you used to have from your old nature, the old man, the natural things, you're still trying to hold on to them. You cannot go through the gate with all that baggage. That's what Jesus talked about. You got to come clean. You got to put it all on the ground and walk through the eye of a needle. Can't get through. And that's what happened with people. They don't want to hold. They want to hold on to their old past and still want to go into the future. You can't. You got to go through the eye of a needle. The eye of a needle is your mind. Can't get through. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. If you like this message, don't go away. I have given you part 1. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his son. What's going on? You are after the fall of man. God's going to come back to the new man that's in grace. See, Genesis chapter 9, God just started grace. If you take those chapters and take them all the way to the new covenant, Paul just came on the scene. Paul just found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now he's getting ready to give us a new covenant. In the new covenant, the woman still don't reign. Because he has to come now and preach Christ before the woman can get the man in the woman, before God can put the woman in the man. At the cross, you were crucified with Christ. God put you in Christ, Romans chapter 6, and made you a new creation. The woman and the man back together as one. 1 Corinthians 6, 17, you join you back to the Lord. But you still can't reign because you still got the same old mindset. And that's what God going to change in this series. You're going to want the man again. Yes, sir. You're going to want the man again because God put the fulfillment of the covenant inside of you. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of God will be fulfilled in you. And see, when God did that, now your spirit man will teach your soul to love the world again. Here in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, this is it, I'm done. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, before he went. You see nothing there by reigning. Go to Galatians. Go to the New Covenant. One quickly. You can't reign without Christ. Romans chapter 5. This is where we'll start next service. Romans chapter 5. And verse 21, just one verse. So you can't reign without Christ. This is what's happening to people. They still talking about God got all it. Yeah, God got it all. You can't get nothing until you make sure the new man is in you. You are not born with a new. God did not create you with Christ in you. He created you with you in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he didn't create Christ in you. You got to have the word to get that. I'm not going to do Romans right now. I'm going to do Ephesians 3, 6, one verse be done. We'll do that later. You got, when God created you, he created you. He created you in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's creation. He created you in Christ. But Christ is not in you yet. Until you hear the gospel of Christ preached, and you got to believe it. The woman got to hear the gospel of Christ preached, that Jesus Christ died for her sins, and that Jesus Christ was buried in her place, and Jesus Christ raised from the dead to make her right with God again. When the woman believed the gospel, God will come back and live in the house, and not to them. So if you think you can just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and just believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, yeah, it said you shall be. Because God ain't coming in that house. He can't come in because it takes the gospel, Romans 1:16, the power of God to put him back in there. Can't come in the house. Watch here, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, one verse. You can stand up on your feet. We give it a close. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. God gave the grace of God to Paul to be given to us. And verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, that the Gentiles should be of the same body, the body of Christ, that the Gentiles should have the partake of the Holy Spirit in Christ one way. Bow to God. So when you don't want the gospel, Christ can't come in your house. It takes the Christ to come in you first to make sure that his blood goes before him. The high priest could not go in the Holy of Holies without the blood. So that's why they had to wait for Christ to die before he entered into the temple again. He couldn't go in without the blood. Hebrews 9:22 said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why now the blood has been shed. Christ has come inside of your life. Now he has forgiven you. The blood is because of the blood. Just don't let nobody deceive you that he's going to come in your house just because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. There's no blood in that. Without his death, burial, and resurrection, he will not come in. Think that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, Paul says, which also you have received and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, and according to the scripture, to fulfill the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. You got to believe. Woman, you got to believe. Christ died for your sins. And then he was buried, and God raised him again from the dead to make you right with God. When that happened, the Spirit of the living God will come back into the house. Hey, my time is up. I thank you for yours. And the door of faith is open unto you.
Thank you for listening to the Door of Faith Ministries podcast. I hope this message was a blessing to you, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to find us online at www.mydooroffaith.org. That's www.mydooroffaith.org.